You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Yesterday, I received a piece of work from the desk of Chief Economist and Advisory Partner at Citadel, and that's Martin Ackerman in Cape Town. And it starts as follows. It says, despite various geopolitical and economic challenges at the beginning of 2019, markets managed to deliver very strong returns for the year. And investors will be relieved to see that equity markets look set to start 2020 on a slightly better footing, as many of these uncertainties have been addressed to some extent over 2019. Now, I suppose in the last few days, your first paragraph is already out of date, Martin, because of what's happened in Iran.
Yes, you're 100% right, Lindsay. I think that it just shows that geopolitical risk will always be with us. And, you know, something like the developments this week and the week before will definitely add volatility to the market again. So we very quickly went from a risk-on environment back to probably a little bit more of a risk-off environment. But that aside, you know, I do think if you compare beginning of last year to where we are today, there's been some major changes that took place over the course of 2019. The one is obviously we've got more clarity around Brexit. It still needs to happen, but, you know, much less uncertainty compared to last year this time. Similarly, in the same camp, you could probably argue that the signing of the US-Chinese trade deal, which is around the corner, is also helping market investors to have a little bit more certainty in terms of the way forward in that regard. And then, you know, probably the most important one is the fact that last year this time, you know, most central banks still, especially the Fed, still spoke about hiking interest rates. And now more than 70% of central banks actually cut interest rates. So the world is definitely an environment where there's more monetary and even fiscal stimulation. And that definitely is helping in the more recent print of high-frequency data showing that we're probably seeing a bottom in terms of the softness that we've witnessed throughout 2019. So all of that into the mix, you know, 2020 might just see some rebound in economic activity, which should be supportive for markets. But then, like you've mentioned already, you know, geopolitics will always be with us, and whether it's Iran or even Trump, you know, just again starting to focus on protectionism, maybe switching his focus to, you know, Europe. He spoke about auto sector generally globally. Now, all of those things are still risks that's in the pipeline that can again cause a lot of volatility this year.
I think if we look back at 2019, it was characterized by the US-China trade wars and also Brexit in Europe and a few geopolitical mishaps here and there. If you look at Brexit now, it's almost a certain uncertainty, if you see what I mean. So it's all been cleared away. The UK will leave the Eurozone, the European Union rather, on the 31st of January, which is in just a few weeks' time. Well, after that, of course, there will be lots of negotiating and a few speed bumps here and there. But nonetheless, Brexit is not a side issue, but it's certainly not the big issue that it was last year. US-China trade deals, I still don't quite understand whether we have made any progress. There's been a couple of things that have been signed, apparently, but the talks go on, so there could be the odd tweet from Mr. Trump, which wobbles the markets occasionally. The US Federal Reserve in an election year is not going to do anything to disrupt Mr. Trump, because we know he's quite vindictive when it comes to being disrupted. And election years are typically very, very good for stock markets, aren't they?
Yes, I think, you know, my view is that Trump will definitely go much more soft on the trade now, because he needs to actually support the economy. He needs to pave the way for the consumers slash voters to see a more happy environment. And we know that so far the trade wars had quite a big impact on manufacturing, specifically in the States. It's actually in contraction, and more in those states where, you know, you had more voter support. In some of those blue-collar states, if you can put it that way, they're actually seeing a contraction in wages as well. So I do think he will play the game a little bit more cautious this year, and that's why I'm saying that for the market, that should be a positive. I fully agree with you that the phase one deal is, you know, not addressing all issues. In fact, a lot of the things that's been deferred, like cybercrime and Chinese support for state-owned enterprises, that, you know, that's still in the pipeline, so it might be with a phase two deal. So we can't think that this is all behind us. But the reality is that I think, like you've already mentioned, we're in an environment where at least these things are being addressed. We've got a little bit more clarity. If it wasn't for the Iranian issue right now, you know, we could argue that we are on a much better footing this time around compared to last year. I think it was just a reminder again that, you know, markets will be volatile and uncertain. And that's partly why our view is to say that, you know, despite the fact that I think, especially given that it's an election year, and historically, you know, we haven't really seen negative stock markets in election years, and the economy typically is doing quite well because the administration do whatever they can to actually support a robust economic environment. So despite that, we do think this is probably the last legs of this decade-long, even longer than that, bull market that we've seen. And we will rather use this opportunity not to remain greedy, but rather take profit when the opportunity is there and start to de-risk your portfolio.
Okay, and before we leave the United States and come back to South Africa, we have to say to ourselves that in early March, which is only 2 months away now, we will have been in an 11-year bull market for US indices, i.e. the Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ. So at some stage, it is going to reach bubble territory. But as a caveat to that, I would say that last night when I looked at my television at 2 o'clock South African time and saw the missiles being lobbed into American bases in Iraq, military bases in Iraq, that is, the S&P immediately fell nearly 50 points. And as I look at my screen now, it's up 3. Every single time there's something happens, people say, so what? The Fed's giving us liquidity. It doesn't matter if there's a skirmish in the Middle East. Let's just buy the thing. It's quite astonishing.
I think the reality is that, you know, 11-odd-year bull market, you know, it's not about the duration. You know, we've seen there's no reason that we need to see a bear market just because we've been in a bull market. So something needs to happen, and that will impact company profitability, because as soon as companies can't make money, then obviously the market will start to price that in and get a bear market. And that's what the focus will be this year specifically. So something like a geopolitical event, like what's happening in Iran, that can obviously trigger that. The trade tensions that we've seen last year can do a similar thing. If this tension in the Middle East continue, we might see a higher oil price for a little bit longer, and that's normally a tax. It's almost act like a tax for global economic growth, for global consumers and global business. So any of these things can actually trigger a severe slowdown in corporate profitability, which will then lead into a potential recession / bear market. So I think the question is still not if but when this will happen, and that's where the timing things come into play. But I think after 11-year bull market, you know, that's why we are saying, well, you've benefited a lot, and with any risk on rally, and you know, being quite volatile, as you said, you know, any negative news, you will see a decline, but probably not the start of the bear market. And any positive news, you will see a new all-time high on the S&P 500. But we need to look at the fundamental factors that might cause an earnings recession or earnings slowdown to develop in the States. And that's probably why markets are likely to, again, turn positive, because as soon as we get more certainty around the trade, that implies that companies potentially can enter an environment where there's less headwinds on terms of their profitability going forward, but use this opportunity to actually take some of these profits and put it away for the long term.
Okay, speaking about profits, there's not many profits to take on the JSE at the moment, or hasn't been for a number of years now. 2019 was a particularly difficult one for JSE-listed securities, and I'm just cherry-picking one sentence from your report, Martin. It says the following: 2020 will be make or break for South Africa. And I think you're talking about downgrades, state-owned enterprises, the SAA, Eskom, etc. It really is. We're on a knife edge here, and I can't believe. I remember last year I kept on saying Mr. Ramaphosa's only been in power for less than a year. But in fact, it's 2 years now since he took the reins, and nothing has happened.
You're right. Since the conference 2017, it's now been 2 years. You know, if you look at the developments that took place, you know, we can have a long list, positives and negatives. I think, unfortunately, when you open the newspaper, you only see the negatives. There's been a lot of things that's been happening and is still happening. some of those things will only start to show results probably 2 or 3 years down the line if we stick doing those.
Yes.
And where we are right now, unfortunately, it's almost like the one positive is cancelling out the one negative, and we stick in this low-growth environment. But that aside, you know, I think the issue at hand is the fact that this year we need to show some progress in fixing the SOEs. And even before we do that, you know, we budget, and I think the rating agencies are tired listening to our plans, and they would like to see some action, which leave us with, what, call it a month and a bit. So on that basis, that's why we're concerned to say that a downgrade is, you know, it's probably going to happen this year. That will put a lot of pressure on the currency. So it's still a lot of structural challenges that the country is facing. But then if you look at some of the positives, we already mentioned FDI that started to rebound in 2018. I've looked at the numbers this week. We don't have full 2019 numbers yet. We've got up until the end of September. It looks like that trend continued. So, you know, although it's slower than most people would like to see from policy reform and implementation, there are small steps that's been made in the right direction. And if we can continue doing that and the FDI trend can continue, not this year, definitely not, but, you know, probably in the next 3 years, we're likely to get growth back above 2%, which we haven't been able to do since about 2013. And it's only in that environment where we will make progress. And if that's the view, back to your point about the JSE, in that kind of environment, you know, I can't see how the JSE, despite the fact that a lot of the companies are in value territory, you know, at least for the next couple of years, can actually get back to the great returns we've seen in previous decades. So I won't write it off totally. I think, you know, at these kind of valuations, it is a good entry point. But investors will need to be quite patient to say, well, all these things need to take place. Hopefully all of them do take place. And then for those that are patient, you know, you might see some of that value unlock over the next couple of years, and you can make some money. I'm talking more specifically now about SA Inc., local SA companies.
Yes.
Obviously, if you look at this year, or specifically last year as well, the mining companies, you know, that's more global factors that will drive that. And then obviously we also sit with a couple of goods, Rand Hedge or international companies. Just on the side, I spotted a line this morning. I won't mention the bank, but it's one of the big American banks, and some of their top 40 stock picks for the next decade is listed on the JSE. So I think for the value investor out there, you know, this might be the time to actually play in some of those spaces. And then, you know, if we're right in terms of a potential rebound, not this year, but in the next 3 to 5 years, there is still some money to be made from that market.
Okay, so you think start accumulating, but with a view to 3 to 5 years before you see any meaningful returns?
Yes, I think, you know, where we are still now is the same reasons that's keeping the economy below capacity and below 2% growth. You know, they directly impact your retailers, your banks, you know, the kind of business that makes money within our borders. And as long as that's the case, you know, if they can't increase their earnings and their market share, it will be very difficult for the market to rate them higher. So just as we need the same reforms to actually fix the SOEs and get the economy back on track and rebuild consumer confidence, those same reforms are needed to actually get these companies onto a better profitability path. And until that happens, it will be very difficult for the market to value those any different from where we are at this point in time. So it is a longer-term investment, but that's typically where equity should fit into your investment portfolio. But that aside, you know, we're still one of the markets that offer very good yield in terms of our income or our cash or interest rates, if you just think about where inflation is sitting at the moment. And you could argue the bond market as well, although I think there might be a better entry point into the bond market given the downgrade risk. But even at these kind of yields, you know, that's very attractive relative to other parts in the world.
Just then summarize, if you would, your outlook for asset classes. You don't have to go into detail because you've already mentioned throughout this conversation what you think of bonds and cash and JSE securities. Let's start with securities. there is value out there, but you've got to sit and wait and don't expect a V-shaped recovery. Is that a fair summary of what you've just said?
Yeah, that's on the local markets. On the JSE, definitely there is opportunities, but like you said, not a sharp V-shaped recovery. But we probably still prefer some more offshore than local, but don't fully sell SA yet. I do think there's some upside longer term for the patient investor. And then on the fixed income side, definitely not in the Western world. There's no yield whatsoever, so you need to look at alternatives like maybe protected equity or enhanced cash in the States maybe. But we're very light on international global bonds. And on the local bond side, the downgrade risk is definitely something in the back of my mind to say, but there might be a better entry point. But if you can, especially in a tax-friendly investment vehicle right now, get a yield of about 8.5 and inflation is sitting at 3.7 or what it is at the moment, you won't get that kind of guaranteed real yields anywhere else in the world. So our market is quite divided at the moment, in the sense not divided, of the fixed income market offers some opportunities, and the JSE, I do think there is opportunities, but it is with a much longer time horizon for the longer term investor.
Okay, bonds. Do we like bonds despite the threat of the downgrade? In fact, if the downgrade comes, it's maybe even priced in. And just like it happened to South Korea many, many years ago, once the downgrade was there, people said, well, bad news is out the way. Let's get stuck in now. Maybe that will happen to South Africa.
Yeah, I think if you look at the net selling of South African bonds over the past 2 years, I do think most investors started pricing it in. And those that wanted to leave, that don't want to have sub-investment grade bonds, they're already out of the market. So I think the pain on an actual downgrade will probably be much less than if it happened 2 years ago. But I do think on the day, the sentiment, there's definitely some downside to the bond market. So at this point in time, yes, it's always a good diversify in any portfolio, but we're probably slightly underweight and also a little bit shorter duration. And when that downgrade comes, that will be the opportunity to increase your duration and your exposure to that. And then probably locking quite attractive yields, was probably some of the most attractive yields in the global environment in terms of relative to our inflation. And, I don't think our inflation is going to change very soon, because that's also a reflection of a weak economy. There's just no demand. If you exclude the fixed pricing with if Eskom and, administered prices like Eskom and water and education, from the consumer side, there's almost no inflation. And that's also clear from, the pass-through from a weaker currency. That's less and less every year because we tend to import less. So that's just another indication that the consumer base is under severe pressure. So as long as that's the case, if you've got those kind of high yields and, who knows, after downgrade, it might even be double-digit yields on the long-term bonds. A very attractive real yield to lock into any investor's portfolio.
Martin, thank you very much for your analysis. That's Martin Ackerman, who is advisory partner and chief economist at Citadel in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.